Bezrat Hashem, we're going to continue with our learning of Gemara of Shabbos. We are on Daf Mem Gimel 43a. And at the bottom of the last Daf, we were talking about Abaye, who was raising objections to Rabbah's opinion in the previous Mishnah about whether or not you can put a vessel beneath an oil lamp. So, at the very top of 43a, Abaye raises another objection to Rabbah's opinion, and this time from a Braisa. And he says that a person could overturn a bowl on the oil lamp itself in order that the flame doesn't set fire to the beam. So we see from this that the Chachamim permitted moving a kli, moving a vessel, even though it's not a common case of preservation. So Rabbah answers him. So this is a case of a low-ceilinged house in which fires are common. And likewise, it's difficult from a Mishnah. The beam of a roof that broke, a person can support it with a bench and with the length of a bed frame in order that it doesn't fall. So even though this is an uncommon case, it's permitted. So Rabbah answers, so this is a case of new beams, which are common to break. They break often. So this too is a common case of preservation. Abaye is going to raise another objection from a Mishnah. And he says, one can place a vessel beneath a leak in the ceiling on Shabbos. So apparently even an uncommon case of preservation is permitted. Rabbah answers, this is a case of a new house, and a new house frequently leaks. Rav Yosef said, so this is the reasoning of Rav Chista. Rav Chista, as an aside, he allowed covering the egg of a hen, But he didn't allow placing a vessel underneath the hen in order to receive the egg. And the Gemara continues, because by receiving the egg in this vessel, he negates the vessel's use, the preparedness. Mevatel kli mehichano, it's called. So initially, the vessel was available for any kind of use whatsoever. But now that it has the egg inside of it, which can't be used or moved, so also the kli, the vessel, can no longer be carried. So this is similar to breaking the vessel. Abaye raises an objection to this opinion of Rav Chista, the same kind of objection that he had to Rabbah's opinion. From the Tosefta, he brings one whose barrel of tevel, of untithed produce, which we know can't be eaten until we take the tithe out of it. If this tevel barrel broke on Shabbos, you can bring another vessel and put it beneath the barrel so that the tevel isn't lost. So even though we know that eating tevel is aser, is prohibited on Shabbos, but the Chachamim permitted carrying a vessel to preserve the tevel, because even in the case, which isn't very common, of a barrel that breaks. So apparently you're able to negate that vessel's use, that preparedness. Rav Yosef says back to him, Zilokash is not difficult. Fundamentally, tevel, muchan hu etzel Shabbos, which means tevel, untithed produce, is available for use on Shabbos. Because if a person sins and prepares it for use by taking the tithe out of it on Shabbos, it's prepared and still can be eaten and carried. So Abaye raises another objection from a Mishnah. He says a person can place a vessel underneath the oil lamp in order to receive the burning sparks of oil that drip off the wick. Once the kli is filled with the drops of oil, it's no longer available for use, for any other use. The Gemara says, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said, sparks have no substance, ain't by a mamish, there's nothing to them. They burn and then they dissolve when they fall into the bowl, and so they don't accumulate. There's no substance there, and that's the reason that the vessel can still be used. He also raised another objection from a Mishnah. So if there was a beam that broke, a person can support it with a bench and with the lengths of a bed frame, which we just learned, so that it won't fall. So by doing so, he negates the preparedness of the bench or the bed frame, right? He uses it for a different purpose. So the answer to that is, so this is a case in which the bench is loosely supporting the beam and it's not carrying the full, it's not bearing the full weight of the beam. If a person wants to do so, the Gemara says, he can take the bench. So therefore, the preparedness of the bench is not negated. He also raises another objection from another Mishnah. Says, one can put a vessel beneath a leak that's dripping from the ceiling on Shabbos. This dripping water doesn't have any use, and so it's set aside. And therefore, this water negates the kli's preparedness. So the answer to this is, this is a case of a leak that is suitable for drinking. And therefore, it has a use. And because it has a use, a person is permitted to carry that water that's inside the kli. So therefore, you don't negate the vessel's preparedness by placing it beneath the leak. Another objection from a Tosefta, which says, one can overturn a basket in front of chicks so that they can climb on and off of it. And by doing this, he negates this vessel due to the chicks, because moving them is Oster and Shabbos. So the Gemara brings an answer, and it says that Rav Yosef holds that it is permitted to move the basket on Shabbos. But the Gemara asks, but wasn't it taught in the Braisa that it's prohibited to move this basket? So the Gemara replies, so yes, this prohibition was stated, but when they are still on top of it. However, once the chicks climbed off the basket, it can be carried right away. The Gemara asks further, but wasn't it taught in Braisa that even though they're no longer on it, it's prohibited to move the basket? So therefore, the vessel is negated, Rabbi Abahu said. So that Braisa is referring to a very unique case, and the case is where the chicks remained on top of the basket for the entire twilight period, the Bein HaShemashos, on Erev Shabbos on Friday. And this is in accordance with the principle that since it was set aside for use during twilight on Shabbos Eve, so therefore it was set aside for the entire day of Shabbos. So we learn here that the status of every vessel, meaning whether or not it can be used on Shabbos, is determined at twilight, at Bein HaShemashos. I'm a Rebbe Yitzchak. Now, regarding this basic halacha about a hen laying an egg on Shabbos, Rabbi Yitzchak says, just as a person cannot put a vessel beneath a hen on Shabbos in order to receive the egg, so too you can't overturn a vessel onto the egg so that the egg won't break. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yitzchak holds that a vessel can only be carried on Shabbos for the sake of an object that can be carried on Shabbos. Since the egg can't be carried on Shabbos, therefore it's prohibited to carry the vessel. If there was an object that could be carried on Shabbos, so logically, then the kli, the vessel, would be able to be carried on Shabbos. The Gemara again raises all of these objections that were raised before to Rav Chista's opinion, and which permitted doing this. And so the answer is, given in the Gemara, that all of those halachas are referring to cases where a person needs to move the vessel that he's using for that set-aside item, because he requires the location. So you need to have that space to use that space where those items are. Now, this is in accordance with the principle that once something's permitted, for whatever reason, to move any kli, a person can put it anywhere he wants. So, Tashma, so the Gemara is going to clarify whether or not this opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak is valid. So, come in here, what was taught in Braisa. With regard to both an egg that was laid on Shabbos and an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, a person can neither move it to cover a vessel with it, nor to support the legs of a bed with it. However, a person can cover it with a vessel so that it doesn't break. And this is contrary to Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion. So here too, it's referring to a vessel that a person seeks to move because he requires the location. So since he was permitted to move it from its place, therefore he's also permitted to cover an egg with it. So Tashma, come here in an additional proof. So we learned that a person can spread a mat on top of a stone on Shabbos. So from this, it seems that it's permissible to move a kli for the sake of something that can't be moved on Shabbos. Obviously, you can't move the stone. So the Gemara responds to this. So this is a case of rounded rocks, avanim merkuzalos, as the Gemara says. And these rocks are suitable to be used in a bathroom, and so therefore, it's permitted to carry them on Shabbos. So another proof, Tashma, coming here. A person can spread mats on top of bricks on Shabbos. Now, as an aside, bricks, we can't use bricks on Shabbos. But nevertheless, you can carry the mat for the sake of the bricks that are usher on Shabbos. So the Gemara replies to this proof that this is actually referring to a case of bricks that are not set aside for any kind of construction job. These bricks are left over from a building that was already completed, and these bricks are suitable for people to lean on them. So consequently, they're like any other household kli, and therefore moving them and moving those mats is mutter, is permitted. Tashma, another proof. So a person can spread a mat over a beehive on Shabbos in the sun. Why would a person do this? They would do this for the need to protect the beehive from the sun, and in the rain also, due to the need to protect it from the rain, as long as he doesn't intend to trap the bees by covering them. So in any event, apparently it's permitted to move this mat for the sake of this beehive, even though the beehive itself, we can't move it on Shabbos. The Gemara then rejects this proof. With what are we dealing here? It asks. We're dealing with a case where there's honey in the beehive. So he's permitted to cover it for the sake of the honey. Rav Ukva from Meshan said to Rav Ashi, so Bishlama, granted, you could say this in the summertime. Because as we flip over to Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, top of 43b, because there's honey in the beehive during the summer. However, during the rainy season, there's no honey in the beehive. So what do you say then, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, to explain why it's permitted to cover this beehive during the rainy season? So the Gemara answers that this halacha is only applicable in order to permit covering the beehive for those two honeycombs that are still in the hive even during the rainy season, so that the bees can use them for food. The Gemara asks, but aren't these honeycombs set aside for the bees? Wait, these honeycombs, the purpose of them is for the bees, so they're set aside for a purpose. The Gemara then responds, but this is a case where a person thought of them before Shabbos, and in your mind, you prepared them to be eaten. So the question then is, but you can infer that if you didn't think about them, what would be the halacha? That it would be prohibited, be usur, to cover this beehive. So if so, this Tana who taught in the same Brisa, there's another Brisa, and in that Brisa it says, as long as he doesn't intend to trap the bees, let him distinguish and teach with regard to that same halacha itself. So in what case are the Bameh Devarim Amarim, what are we talking about here? That one is permitted to cover the hive. So this is in a case where he thought of them before Shabbos, but if he didn't think of them, it's usur, it's prohibited. The Gemara answers this, so this teaches us a chiddush. So HaKamash Malan, we learn, even though a person didn't think of them before Shabbos, it's only permitted as long as he didn't intend to trap the bees. So regarding this matter, the Gemara is going to ask, in accordance with whose opinion is this Brisa? So if it's in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't hold that there is a prohibition of mitzkaving, of setting aside something for an intended purpose. So consequently, there's no distinction between the different kinds of beehives. But if it's an opinion in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, when he does not have intention to trap the bees, so then what? What do we do? Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda hold that even an unintentional act is aser, is prohibited? So the Gemara says, actually, this brisa is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And what does it mean that as long as a person doesn't intend to trap the bees, what does that mean? It means that a person should not make the mat, should not fashion it to be like a trap. He has to leave a space so that the bees will not get trapped on their own. So Rav Ashi said that we can resolve this in a different way. Rav Ashi asked, but did the Braisa teach that in the summer and in the rainy season? Really, it taught in the sun, due to the sun, and in the rain, due to the rain. It doesn't say the summer. So we can interpret it then like this, according to Rav Ashi. In the days of Nisan and in the days of Tishrei, because then in those months there the sun is shining, but it's also a little chilly, so there's rain and there's honey in those beehives. So Amar Lehu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says to the Chachamim, so go out and tell Rabbi Yitzchak in Eretz Yisrael that Rav Huna already explained your halacha in Bavel, in Babylonia. So there's really no chiddush in the principle that you established, that a vessel can only be moved for the sake of something that can be moved. Because Rav Huna said, one can make a partition for the dead for the benefit of a living person, and one may not make a partition for the dead for the benefit of a dead person. So what this means is that it's usur, it's prohibited to move objects for the sake of a dead person, because it's permitted to move the corpse itself on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, so what's the practical application of this halacha? The Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, as Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, And likewise, the Chacham Shelamari taught in a Brisa. So a corpse that is laid out in the sun, and there is a concern that it's going, something's going to, that the body is not going to, it's going to deteriorate. So what do you do there? So two people come and they can sit next to it. They can sit beside it. After a while, when they feel heat coming from beneath them, so one person brings a bed and he sits on it, and that other person brings a bed and he sits it on either side of the body, because they are then permitted to carry the beds, because they're carrying the beds for their own use. And when they feel heat coming from above them, they can bring a mat and they can spread it over their heads. So this one stands up his bed so that the mat remains resting on top of it. And then he slips away and he leaves. And the other person stands his bed up and slips away and leaves. And therefore a partition is created over the body, as if on its own, without erecting it directly for the sake of the body. So apparently the Chachamim did not permit carrying a mat to cover a body for the sake of the body. They only permitted doing this in an indirect way for the benefit of the living, the two people that are there watching the body. So incidentally, the Gemara is talking about the halachas relating to a dead person on Shabbos, the Gemara is going to cite a dispute, a machlokas. And then it goes like this. It was said that a dead body that was laid out in the sun, Rav Yehuda said that Shmuel said, a person could turn it over from bed to bed until it reaches the shade, meaning you can sort of incrementally move it from one bed to another. Rav Chanina ben Shlemya said in the name of Rav that a person can put a loaf of bread or even an infant on the body itself and then they can move it. So therefore, the corpse becomes what we call a basis, which sounds like the word basis or base, and then that's exactly what it means. The corpse becomes a base for the object that a person is permitted to move. So you can move the loaf of bread. So you put the loaf of bread on top of the body, and consequently, you can move the body because it due to the object, the permitted object. So the Gemara says, in a case where there's a loaf or an infant, everybody agrees that it's permitted to use that method to move the body. So where they have a disagreement is in a case where he does not have a loaf or a baby. Now, obviously, in today's world, we would never do this, but this is, if you remember, this is in Gemara times. They're speaking also metaphorically, hypothetically about what to do. So one chacham, which is Rav, holds that moving an object in non usual way is considered like an act of moving. It's a bona fide act of moving, and therefore you can't move the body by passing it from bed to bed. That's the opinion of Rav. The other Chacham, Shmuel, holds that moving an object in an atypical way is not considered moving, and therefore it's permitted to move this body by passing it from bed to bed. So regarding this dispute between Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara says, so let's say that this Machalokes is a parallel to a dispute between Tanaim in the Tosefta. The rabbi said that the person cannot rescue a corpse from a fire on Shabbos, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish said, I heard that one may rescue a corpse from a fire. But the Gemara asked, well, what are their circumstances here? So if there is a loaf or an infant available, so what's the rationale for the opinion of the first Tana, which prohibited rescuing the corpse from the fire? So if there's not a loaf or an infant, then what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, who actually permits rescuing the corpse from the fire? So rather, is it not that they disagree over moving an object in an atypical way? Because the first Tana holds that moving an object in an atypical way is actually moving. So therefore, it's usur to rescue the corpse like this. And the other Chacham, in this case Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, holds that moving an object in an atypical way is not considered moving. So therefore it's mutter, it's permitted to rescue the corpse in this way. So this machlokes deals with an issue that was already disputed by these Tanaim. But the Gemara rejects this. It says, no, everyone, including both Tanaim, everyone agrees that moving an object in an atypical way is actually considered moving. So rather, this is the rationale for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Since a person is upset, and the word in the Gemara can be translated as agitated, about his deceased relative, and is concerned about maintaining his dignity, as we flip over to Daf 44A. If you don't allow this person to move the corpse in an atypical way, he's going to come to extinguish the fire. He's going to do everything he can to try and save the body of his loved one, try and keep it from being desecrated by this fire. The Chachamim permitted performing an act that's prohibited derabbanan by rabbinic law in order that a person will not come to transgress a Torah prohibition. Rabbi Yehuda ben Sheila said that Rav Asi said that Rabbi Yochanan said that the halacha is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish with regard to the issue of rescuing a corpse from a fire. Bezrat Hashem, we're going to continue on back to the original discussion about making use of oil and other things on the top of Daf 44a in the next year. Baruch Hashem.